tonight. Good to have you back. If you will, get your book and turn to page 390. Page 390. Now, I don't know if you remember what the preacher preached on this morning. He preached on a heavenly battle. He preached about the battlefields now. We're on the battlefield. And if you're going to get the victory, you're going to have to start right here. The blood. There's power, power in the blood. Let's stand and sing. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for cleansing to Calvary's tide. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be whiter, much whiter than snow? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Sin stains are lost in His life-giving flow. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you deserve us for Jesus your King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily His praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. All right, if you would turn back to page 376, page 376. Now, I'll tell you what. If you've discovered that there's power in the blood, if your sins are much whiter than snow, bless God, we're headed for the promised land. Just as straight as we can go, just as sure as we can go, we're going. Let's sing it.
On Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wishful eye to Canaan's fair and happy land where my possessions lie. I am bound. I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land.
Did anybody notice the end of that verse? I mean, the chorus? Oh, who will come and go with me? You know, I've heard my brother, my pastor, say more times than I can count. He didn't want to go to heaven alone. Boy, I tell you what, we all want somebody to go to the promised land with us, don't we? Let's sing another verse. Here we go.
All o'er those wide extended plains, one eternal day, their God. The sun forever reigns and scatters night away. I am bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land. No chilling winds nor poisonous breath can reach that healthful shore. Sickness and sorrow, pain and death have felt no force no more. I am bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land. Help me out. When shall I reach that happy shore and be forever blessed? When shall I see my Father's face and in His bosom rest? I am bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land. You may be seated. You may be seated. One announcement, I believe, last made this morning, June the 3rd, on a Saturday, will be at his home at Rome Mountain, he and Jackie. And if you are going on the bus, 8:30 here, if you're going by yourself in your own vehicle, contact Leslie and Jackie, and they'll give you directions. I would strongly suggest that you come and follow them. You might be driving through the rhododendrons for a while. So any other, did I miss that anyway? I got that right? Okay. Do we have any outspoken prayer requests before we go to the Lord in prayer? And then John's going to come and sing, and Nick's going to preach, and we'll let the Lord lead from there. Any outspoken requests? Any unspoken? Yes, yes. Pam's not here. I'll say her family. Family. All right, son. All right. Yes. Yes, Deanie fell and severe breakage of her wrist, I think. Any others? Father, so thankful that you'd let us be back tonight. Lord, I wish the house was full. For you. I wish it for you, Lord. It's your day. It's the day you've given us. You've blessed us with it. You've given us health to be here. You've given us a place to be, that we could come together as your family, as your children, as your church, and give you thanks. Thank you, Father, for the blood that bought me. Thank you, Father, for the promised land that you have promised me. You said, I go away, but if I go away, I'll come again and receive you unto myself. Lord, I thank you for the message this morning. Thank you, oh God, that we can have the victory. We can have it here, and we're certainly going to have it there. Thank you for that. Now, Father, I ask your blessings upon all these prayer requests. And I ask your blessings upon John as he sings. And then, Lord, I pray you'd just move Nick aside and preach to us tonight. May we hear from you. In Jesus' name, amen.
I am a poor wayfaring stranger, traveling through this world below. There is no sickness, no toil or danger in that bright land to which I go. I'm going there to see my Father. I'm going there no more to roam. I'm only going over Jordan. I'm only going and steep, but golden feet lie out before me, where weary eyes no more shall we. I'm going there to see my mama. Get home. I'm only going over Jordan. I only go over the pole. I want to sing salvation story in concert with that blood-washed band. I want to wear a crown of glory when I get home to that fair land. I'm going there to see my Savior, who shed his precious blood for me. I'm only going over Jordan. I'm only going
and a wonderful job tonight as well. And I think we all need to realize and understand tonight that we are just pilgrims. We are just strangers passing through here on this side. We need to stop treating this side like it's our home forever, because it's not. Heaven is our eternal home. We're just pilgrims passing through. But thank God, I'm thankful that we can enjoy our time here till the good Lord calls us home. Hallelujah. And how thankful that we all are for that. I just realized, Scott, I sent you the wrong scripture. All right? So it's going to be Luke 19, not John 19. All right, buddy? Okay, so he's got his thumb sticking up back there, so that's good to go. So Dad and Mary came up this afternoon, and Addie's got a birthday coming up in about 2 weeks. And Dad's like me, when he buys a gift, they ain't no waiting until the day of. You're supposed to get the gift. Buy the gift, you get it then. I'm the exact same way. At least that's the excuse I tell Lene when I maybe go and get her card on the day of or something. I didn't forget, okay? But anyway, they came up to the house this afternoon, and Addie got to open one of her birthday presents from them. And me and Lene were so excited when she tore that paper and we saw what was in that box was a karaoke machine with microphones, one apiece, two of them. But that's all right. It was good. They sung the house down, and I'm thankful that the Dad and Mary and Papa got that for them. First song they sung on it was Jesus Loves Me. And you talk about me just sitting there on the couch enjoying myself and that. And then they sung several other Christian songs, and then they made their way to singing some Taylor Swift songs and things like that. I was glad they started out with Jesus, though. That was good. Okay, but when they wake up in the middle of the night wanting to sing, that's fine. Dad, just you and Mary and Papa will be ready. They'll be coming down to Danner Subdivision, okay? And you just can handle it from there. Luke chapter 19, verse 1. If you brought your Bibles with you tonight, Luke chapter 19 and verse 1. And I haven't talked to Dan today. I talked to him yesterday, told him that we all would be praying for him, that he had a safe trip and a good service down there today. But I haven't talked to him this afternoon or anything like that. But let's continue to pray for him and Susie as they come home either today or tomorrow or Tuesday or whatever day that is. But he did want me to tell everybody that he was looking forward to seeing everybody Wednesday night, all right, for Zechariah. So Luke 19 and verse 1, and we're just going to go through verses 1 through 10 and stop and share what God has laid on my heart and on my mind with each one of these verses, okay? But before we get in to anything, I guess the thought that God's laid on my heart and on my mind is climbing to a higher altitude. Climbing to a higher altitude. And I don't know how many of you have ever been in those little Cessna Skyhawks. Do you guys know what I'm talking about when I say them little Cessna Skyhawks planes? They only hold about 2 to 4 people. Okay, and has anybody ever been in one of them? I have. Nobody here's been in one. Okay, Dwayne back there's been in one. I recommend not doing it. Do not get in one. The thing about them is, they had this aviation program at Unica High School, and what was happening was they were getting ready to cut it because they couldn't get enough students interested in being in it. So I showed up for school in that first day of August, my sophomore year, and the principal looked at me and said, Nick, you're taking aviation. I said, okay. So I went down there, went into aviation class, and I was an early student. I didn't get my driver's license until I was a junior in high school. So I flew a plane before I even drove a car. Now, I wasn't by myself. The instructor was right there beside of me and things like that. But it was very, very interesting, but it was something that I never did again because the plane was so little, just a small breeze would knock it off its course, and it would make you sick, make you nauseous, and things like that. But you know, if you think about it, the bigger the plane, the higher altitude that it flies. And Lynn and Linda just got back from Alaska, and they had to went to Tri-Cities Airport, and from Tri-Cities Airport, they flew a plane over, or they didn't fly it, a pilot flew it, but they flew a plane over to Charlotte, and that wasn't a very, very big plane, bigger than a Cessna Skyhawk. It was a jet, but it wasn't one of them jets that holds 300-400 people. It was a smaller size jet, and even in those smaller size jets, you can feel more turbulence. But when you get in those big jets and you get up to that altitude of 30,000 feet, man, it's a smooth ride then. Now, you will still experience some turbulence in some clouds if a storm's brewing or something like that, but it's a lot smoother ride when you're up higher in altitude at 30,000 feet in a bigger jet surrounded by more people than it is in a Cessna Skyhawk or it is in one of them smaller jets. And then I got to thinking about that, and then I got to thinking about us as Christians. You know what? If we would rise up in altitude with the Lord Jesus Christ, I think our lives would get a whole lot easier. they would get a whole lot easier. So you might be here tonight and you might be on the Cessna Skyhawk level that only gets about 10,000 feet up in the air and life seems rougher, it's more bumpy, there's more turbulence. Or you might be on the smaller size jet that gets about 20,000 feet up in the air, and it's better than the Cessna Skyhawk life because you don't experience every piece of turbulence that's going on, but it still can be rough from time to time. But my goal tonight is I want to be at a higher altitude for the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to be like that jet, 30,000 feet up in the air. And the illustration with that is this. You know, if we're living with the Lord Jesus Christ and we're raising up an altitude in Him, in other words, what that means is we're growing closer to Him. We're walking closer to Him. We're getting a deeper relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're digging deeper in the Bible. We're praying more. We're worshiping more. We're witnessing more as we grow and grow and get higher and higher in altitude in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? Things of this world ain't going to bother us near as much as they do now. Amen. What you see on the news ain't going to bother you as much as it does now or anything like that. Why? Because the world's down here living in its own sinful place, but you're up here with the Lord Jesus Christ flying at a higher altitude. So let's try to fly at a higher altitude tonight for the Lord Jesus Christ. So we can see in Luke chapter 19 verse 1, the Bible says, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho." Now I want to stop right there just for a second. How many times do you read in a New Testament where the first verse of a chapter starts off with "Jesus journeyed to this city," or "Jesus went into this city"? I don't know, but I know from reading God's holy word that you will read that on several occasions, that Jesus was walking through this city, or that Jesus was passing by this city. You won't find many times in God's holy word where Jesus was sitting down with His feet propped up or anything like that. No, Jesus was always on the move. Jesus was always doing the work of God. And that's how we need to be tonight. Let us always be on the move for the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, I can't witness to nobody if all I do is stay at home all day. I can't witness to nobody if all I do is stay in my office at work all day. No, I got to get out. I got to journey out. I've got to journey out to town. I've got to journey out to Elizabeth and Johnson City, Kingsport, vacation, wherever you're at, when you're on the move and things like that. Because when we journey out, that's when God will put people in our lives that we can be a witness to. It's hard to be a witness to anybody when you're sitting in your house or anything like that. Who am I going to witness to? My dog, Casey? Casey, you better get right with the Lord. He's coming back. No, we need to get out. We need to move Him out. Jesus was always on the move. He was never lazy. He was never lack. He was never lackadaisical or anything like that. And listen, I know we get tired from time to time, and I know we need to rest from time to time. I believe it was Jesus when John had died, or it might have been somebody else, and the disciples were out on a ship, that He went and He got away and went up to a mountaintop to rest and to meditate and things like that. We all need to get away and rest from time to time. But what's important is that we come back refreshed, and we come back to work, praise God, working for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's like we said this morning, Satan knows that his days are numbered, so Satan's on the move. I can assure you Satan ain't sitting still. I can assure you that Satan ain't sitting back in a recliner, in a lounge chair, watching TV or anything like that. No, Satan is on the move. Well, hallelujah, if Satan is on the move, I want to be on the move for the Lord Jesus Christ, hallelujah. And you know what? It reminds me of the time of the Bible, in Acts chapter 1, and in Acts chapter 2, and in Acts chapter 3. You know, that was an early test for the church. Jesus had ascended into heaven, and the disciples were left there, and the religious leaders of Jerusalem that was under Rome influence, you know, they were after the early church. They were going to persecute the early church, but bless God, what did God do? God got on the move, and He sent down the Holy Spirit, and the Bible says that it was like fire, and the disciples began to preach and proclaim the Word of God. The Holy Spirit was on the move. God was on the move. Jesus was on the move. Yes, the Roman rulers were on the move. Yes, the religious leaders were on the move, trying to do away with the early church, but bless God, because God was on the move too, thousands of souls got saved, hallelujah. It's important that we be mobile, that we be on the move for the Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 2 says, "And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus." And every time I read that name Zacchaeus, I think of that song. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. That little kid's song. "Which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich." Tax collector. The Jews could not stand Zacchaeus. One, because he was a tax collector. If the IRS shows up at my house, I can assure you I'm not going to give him a cup of coffee and a cookie to drink, all right? If anybody here works for the IRS, I'm sorry. I will give you a cup of coffee or a cookie, okay? But he was a tax collector. But another reason that the Jews didn't like him was that he was a Roman. The Romans had put him in charge of collecting taxes because that's who had control over Israel, over Jerusalem at the time. So he was chief among the publicans and he was rich. Now I want to stop right there for a second. You might not have $1 million. You might not even have $1,000. Shoot, you might not even have $100. But I'll tell you right now, if you've got the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart and your soul and you're saved, hallelujah, you're rich. You're a rich man, you're a rich woman, you're a rich child. Why? Because I don't care how much money Bill Gates has got. I don't care how much money Elon Musk has got. I don't care how much money all these CEOs of these companies got. That money's going to pass away. That gold is going to pass away. That Ferrari's going to pass away. That mansion's going to pass away. This earth is going to pass away. But praise God, the richness of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to stand the test of time. If the devil has came up and fought it time and time again, and the devil has lost time and time again. Everything can be destroyed and everything can be demolished, but praise God, our salvation will stand the test of time. That is a richness that will never go anywhere. That is a richness that can never be stolen from us. You know, you can have millions of dollars in the bank and a professional robber show up and take all the money that you've got. Listen, praise God, are you not glad that Satan can't rob your salvation from you? Are you not glad that Satan can't rob your joy from you? And you say, well, preacher, Satan's robbed my joy from me before. No, Satan ain't never robbed my joy. I've gave Satan my joy. I gave in to the devil. I let him think this and I let him make me think that and all the other things, but bless God, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Praise God. Thank God for it. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was chief among the publicans, and he was rich. Why was he rich? Collecting taxes. He's also taking more than he was supposed to take, keeping back for himself. Wasn't giving it all to the Roman government. Let me get into that too. God knows when us as Christians are holding back. God knows when us as Christians are not giving 100% for Him. I'm not saying that to be mean tonight, but I'm saying that to, I'm even reflecting on myself when I say that. This is just as much for me as it is for anybody else. Let's not hold back for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's give everything that we've got, okay? Verse 3, "And he sought to see Jesus, who he was." So here it is, this rich tax collector. He knows that Jesus is a Jew, but he has a desire. He is seeking to see Jesus and who he was. Listen, I'm thankful that I know Jesus and I know who he is. Now there's a big difference between saying who Jesus was and who Jesus is. If I say Jesus was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that would mean that He's not no more. That's past tense. But we don't say Jesus was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Bless God, we say Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords because He still is. Praise God for that. We say today is the day of salvation. Why is there and not was? Why do we not say today was the day of salvation? Well, bless God, the reason is Jesus is still alive. God's still alive. God hasn't closed the door on the ark yet. That's why today is the day of salvation. Thank God for it. In verse 3, "And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press." In other words, there was such a great crowd following the Lord Jesus Christ that little Zacchaeus had no chance of seeing Jesus. Now Zacchaeus wasn't trying to touch Jesus. Zacchaeus wasn't trying to shake Jesus' hand or anything like that. The only thing Zacchaeus was trying to do was get a glimpse of Him. So think of this man that's a very short stature. And all these people that's taller than him surrounding Jesus couldn't even see who he was. That'd be like if I took Ellie and Addie and me and the family, if we took them to see. They love Cinderella right now, so let's use Cinderella as an example. Let's say we took them to an ice skating show or something like that, and Cinderella was right there, and all the adults were up front, and the little kids couldn't see him. That's kind of what was going on with Zacchaeus right here. He couldn't see the Lord Jesus Christ because the crowd was so great. And he sought, verse 3, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press because he was of little stature. So because Zacchaeus was small, was short, he could not see Jesus. Something was separating him from seeing Jesus. It was his stature. Listen, at some point in time in our lives, there was something separating us from seeing Jesus, and it wasn't our stature, it was our sins. But are you not glad that while we were yet sinners, Jesus came and died for us and rose on the third day, giving us direct access to the throne of God, giving us direct access to the Lord Jesus Christ. And while we were yet sinners, while we didn't deserve to see Jesus, Jesus said, "Here I am. Here I am, praise God. Here I am." Thank God for that. In verse 4, and he ran before. So he ran ahead of the crowd. He saw the road that Jesus was on, so he ran ahead. So Zacchaeus is thinking, there's got to be some way that I can see Jesus. He is determined to do whatever he can to see the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, glory to God. I hope we are all determined to do whatever we can to see Jesus when his time's over with. Hallelujah. And also, until that moment, I hope we all are determined as we possibly can to do as much for the Lord Jesus Christ as we possibly can. Let us have that determination to do more for Jesus. So Zacchaeus runs ahead. He climbs up into a sycamore tree to see him. Now, I was doing some research on sycamore trees, and sycamore trees can grow up to about 30 feet high. I don't know how high this sycamore tree was when Zacchaeus climbed up in it. The Bible doesn't say how high that this sycamore tree is. But Zacchaeus climbs up into this sycamore tree because he wants to be able to see Jesus. And the end of verse 4 says, "For he was to pass that way." Think about that sycamore tree for a moment. You know, we can read that scripture and we can say, okay, yeah, Zacchaeus climbed up a sycamore tree, but we may never even think about that sycamore tree again. But I want us to stop and think about that sycamore tree for a second. God had that sycamore tree placed in that exact moment for this exact time, so Zacchaeus would be able to see the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, Lacey and Lene sung a song a couple weeks back, "God is in the details." Praise God, God's not only in the big details, but He's also in the little details where a tree even sprouts up. That's how great and that's how awesome that God is. So that tree was there for a reason. So when you read this and think of this story, don't glance over, well, there just happened to be a sycamore tree there. No. Listen, we don't serve a God of coincidence. God knows exactly what He's doing and when He's doing it. Hallelujah. Okay, so that's what happened in verse 4. He climbs up in a sycamore tree because he wants to see Jesus. In verse 5, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up. Had to catch somebody's attention. I know if I was walking down the road and if I see a bird in a tree, it catches my attention. Well, if I'm walking down the road and I look up and I see an adult in a tree, that's definitely going to catch my attention. So no doubt this caught Jesus' attention. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, "Zacchaeus, make haste." Zacchaeus, hurry up, get down out of that tree. Man alive, are you not thankful? When you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, Jesus said, "Make haste," hallelujah, "come closer to me." Thank God for that. "And come down, for today I must abide," that means stay or visit, or go in, "today I must abide at thy house." So Zacchaeus is thinking, I just want to see Jesus. So this day starts out, Zacchaeus can't even see Jesus because the crowd is so great. Zacchaeus can't see Jesus because he's so short. So he climbs up in a sycamore tree and he finally sees Jesus. And now, He's climbed up an altitude. Literally, he climbed up an altitude. Let's say the sycamore tree's 30 feet high. He climbs up 30 feet higher in altitude, and he's able to see Jesus. Well, then he comes down. You think, well, his altitude's going down. He's not as high now. No, he's getting ready to be at a higher altitude than he's ever been in his life. Why? Because Jesus is going to spend the night with him. Jesus is going to come and abide at his house. Glory to God, how thankful that we should be. Praise God, if you live in a Christian home tonight, do you know that Jesus is abiding inside your house? If you are a Christian tonight, do you know the earthly temple that you have, your body? Jesus is living inside your house tonight. Man, that's great stuff right there. Made haste and come down and received him joyfully. Zacchaeus received him joyfully. Jesus received Zacchaeus joyfully. There's joy all over the place. In verse 7, and when they saw it, they all murmured, saying, this was the Jews. Remember, they didn't like Zacchaeus. They're probably murmuring, saying, why didn't Jesus come and stay at my house? I'm a better person than this individual. He's a tax collector, and he's embezzled money. He's taken more money for himself. I've not done anything like that. Why hasn't Jesus came and stayed at my house? Listen, Jesus don't see it that way. Jesus sees a lost person that needs to be saved. That's all he sees. Hallelujah. And that's the way we need to be. We don't need to look at somebody's life and say, well, I'm glad I've not done anything that bad, or I know I've not done anything this bad. No, that's not why God put us here. We are not to be judge and ruler over anybody on this side. God is judge and ruler over everybody on this side. It is our job, praise God, to lead people to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's it. That's it. That's our responsibility. That's the responsibility that God has given each and every one of us. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was going to be guest with a man that is a sinner. Can I stand up here and say tonight that I was a sinner and Jesus came to be a guest with me and cleaned me up and now I'm a saint? Hallelujah. You can say the same thing tonight if you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Jesus, he's going to go and spend the night at a sinner's house. I'm glad Jesus spent a night at a sinner's house. Hallelujah. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord. Now this is what spending some time with Jesus does. It is impossible to spend time with Jesus this close. They're sitting in, they're 3 feet from each other. Just imagine that. They're in Zacchaeus' house having a conversation. If I go over to Tom's house and we sit on his front porch or back porch or something like that and sit on a chair, me and Tom having a conversation, that's what Zacchaeus and Jesus is doing right here. Started out the day, couldn't even see him, and now Jesus is in his very house. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. So, Jesus, half the wealth I have, I'm going to give it to the poor. Now, that's not the Zacchaeus in the beginning of this chapter. Zacchaeus is thinking of every way possible that he can become rich as he can. But now he's saying, I'm going to give half my goods to the poor. And then he says, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation. So in other words, if I say so-and-so owed this much on taxes, but they really didn't owe this much, so I took more money and kept some of it back for myself, I restore him fourfold. Now think about that for a second. It starts off, Zacchaeus was in no altitude with Jesus. He was as low as he could possibly be. He was filthy rich, taking more money, taking more taxes than he was supposed to. And then by the time you get to the end of this chapter, Zacchaeus has went up in altitude. He's got higher and higher and higher in the Lord Jesus Christ, praise God. And now he's going to restore fourfold more than what he took. Man, Jesus makes a change, don't he? The blood makes a change. The Holy Spirit makes a change. God makes a change. Praise God. Jesus makes a change. And one day, you know, this body that we live in, Hallelujah. I'm thankful for the change that's going to take place in it one day. Right now it gets tired. Right now it gets beat up. Right now you go out in the hot sun and things like that, and you got to take you a 20 or 30 minute break to get hydration. But one day, praise God, the saints of God are going to receive a new glorified body that'll never run tired, that'll never run old, that'll never need surgery, that'll never have to have a funeral, that it won't be near a cemetery, bless God, because that body is going to last forever, because Jesus rose from the grave, praise God. We will live for eternity and enjoy it. Hallelujah. Man, that's good. I'll restore him fourfold. Do you see the climb that Zacchaeus has went on? He physically climbed up in a sycamore tree, got to a higher altitude so he could see Jesus. But that wasn't the highest altitude he got to in his story. The highest altitude he got to was after he spent some time with the Lord. And we have his confession right here that he was taking too much money. He spent some time with Jesus. And then all the good works he starts doing. I'm going to give half my goods to the poor. Then I'm going to restore those that I stole from fourfold more. That's what you'd say going in a higher altitude for the Lord Jesus Christ. How do you know if you're getting to a higher altitude for the Lord Jesus Christ? I'll tell you right here. You'll see right here the change that Zacchaeus has. He's no longer thinking of himself. He's thinking of others. He's thinking of the poor. He's thinking of the ones he stole from. He's thinking of the ones that don't have what he has. That's how you know if you've made it to a higher altitude in the Lord Jesus Christ. How much do you think about yourself? Or how much do you think about how you can be a service to somebody else? I can tell you right now, when Jesus spent his 33 and a half years here on this earth, I can't think of anything he did for himself. Everything he did was for God, and everything he did was for us, for you and I. So that's how we know if we're getting to a higher altitude in the Lord Jesus Christ, is what do we do for others? So then we get to verse 9. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house. Zacchaeus gets saved. I'm going to say something tonight. And I've heard preachers say, you know, we don't have revivals like we used to. There used to be revivals and, you know, 30, 40, 50, 60 people would get saved. And then that next Sunday, the baptistry would be full of people and you wouldn't get out of church till 2 o'clock and things like that. And I believe that. I'm not saying those old-timey preachers are lying when it comes to things like that. But I also want to say this. And I could be wrong because I'm just 33. So you older people here maybe could tell me a whole lot more. Has the church world lost excitement for a sinner being saved? I'm just saying, I don't know. I don't know. I'm just saying that out loud. You guys can think in your mind, has the church world lost excitement for lost souls being saved? I want to say this tonight. That is the most exciting thing that can happen on this side, is that a soul gets saved. What does the Bible say? Much rejoicing goes on in heaven over one soul that was lost and gets saved. Well, I'll tell you right now, if heaven is rejoicing in a sinner getting saved, praise God, the church houses ought to be rejoicing in sinners getting saved. Let us be excited. Let us be enthused when it comes to people coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. This day salvation came to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. Verse 10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Zacchaeus was lost. He got saved. Nick Kobach was lost. He got saved. I hope you can plug your name in there. I was lost. I got saved. That was Jesus' main goal for coming to earth. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. And I'm going to break that down for 1 second, then we'll be done. For the Son of Man is come to seek. He went after the lost. Why'd he go and stay at Zacchaeus' house? He was seeking the lost. Dan said this, I think it was last week, and he's 100% right. The lost ain't going to come to us. We got to go to them. We've got to seek the lost. Jesus seeked the lost, so that's what we need to do. And to save that which was lost. So not only when Jesus seeks them, when he seeks them and he gets to them, he saves them. Hallelujah. And that gets me to something else and we'll be done. You can't save nobody. Don't treat it like it's your job to save anybody, because you can't. But you can tell them about the man who can save them, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. So let us all climb up in a higher altitude. If you're in that Cessna Skyhawk, go up into that jet that holds about 100 people. It's still a little bumpy, but it's better than the Cessna Skyhawk. And then if you're in that little jet that goes about 20,000 feet up in the air, go up an altitude to about 30,000 feet. I'll tell you right now, when you get up in an altitude of 30,000 feet, the view can't be beat, folks. The view can't be beat, because spiritually, physically, and mentally, that's a great place to be, all right? Let's stand to our feet. We'll be dismissed in a word of prayer, okay? Don't forget Wednesday night, Zechariah Bible study. Come out for that. Don't forget about Bible school coming up June the 2nd or 3rd, I believe it was. Tom mentioned that, so let's definitely not forget about that, okay? I'll go ahead and dismiss us in prayer. God, we thank you for this day you've given us. We thank you for your love. I thank you for your grace, God, and I thank you for your knowledge, God, and I thank you for your word. How precious that the Bible is, Lord God, and it is your word, and it's alive, God, and we're just so thankful for it, God, and help me and help us all to treat it with the respect that it deserves, Jesus. God, I pray that you be with those that were able to come back out tonight, God. I pray, God, that you will just give them a double portion, Jesus. And God, I pray that you be with all these people, and including myself, God, as we go throughout this week, God, as we go to our jobs, as we go to our homes, wherever we may end up this week, God, help us all to climb up in a higher altitude with you, Jesus. Help us all to want to draw closer to you, God, and help us all to want to have that determination to get to you every single day of our lives. Help me, Lord God, to be excited for the lost. I know that's a weird way to put it, God, but help me, God, to have the excitement, to have the zeal, to have the passion, to have the love for the lost, and give me that excitement, Lord God, to tell them about Jesus. And then not only that, that they accept you before it's everlasting too late. And then not only that, but that we be excited about it, God, because that's something worth being excited about. God, I ask you, Lord, to forgive me of my sins, where I failed you, where I've done wrong for you. And I ask you, God, to be with Preacher Dan and Susie as they travel back, God. Give them a wonderful journey back home. All these things we ask in your Son's name. Amen.